Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking all. Despite the cost, you know I got to trot on, trot on.
There's like, I got James Cook. I got a whole slew of people in IR. Like, it's crazy in there. But he's just like, I was like, whatever. Never mind.
It's pretty crazy you lost Jesse and Deuce looking at it. Like, if Cooper didn't have his career day, you would have won pretty handedly, to be honest.
Cooper wouldn't have had his career day in Einstein's either.
Yeah, that's the good point.
Yeah.
I would have preferred he not had a career day. I'd rather lose in Deuce than in Einstein's.
I've already won double Deuce, so I definitely prefer the Einstein's win. And Mike, honestly, we needed to knock you off. We really did,
to be honest. I know. To save the league.
Who was it that said it in chat perfectly? Like,
you know, was D. Stroud, wasn't it?
No, it was another guy. But whoever's actually
was C. Stroud.
Not the one that
said it yesterday.
Yeah.
Who did you beat?
Me?
Austin. Yeah.
I don't remember. Boondocks, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
It was him.
No, it was A-Beak. That's who I beat.
Okay. Yeah, it was him. So anyway, yeah, it was going to trigger a vote for a redraft of the entire league if you won for a third year in a row, Mike. So somebody had to knock you off. And I'm glad it happened the way it did, because like, it just completely caught you off guard. That Amari Cooper 50-point performance was just something else. Sitting on my bench in Patreon 1.
And who's it going to be this week? Because it's always going to be somebody.
I got a real story for you guys in Patreon 1 this week. Man, it was...
I looked at it. That's brutal.
Fireworks.
Bro.
Fireworks.
Yeah, I looked at it.
So, what up, Dynasty players in the house?
Oh, we're
already started. Yeah. We were talking football behind the scenes. Sometimes I like to just let it rip. So, in Patreon 1, it starts out with a couple days ago, like, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, Neil sends me an offer for Mostert. I don't even remember what it was, but it seemed pretty fair. So, I just kind of took it. I didn't realize that my opponent, Chris Stroud, was trying to trade for Mostert and had sent Neil an offer, and Neil was like, we'll see, I don't know, and then made the deal with me. I didn't know that, so Stroud was feeling kind of sniped. I found this out today. Wake up Christmas morning, find out, lovely, Josh Jacobs, even though they said all week he was going to play, he said it, his coach said it, inactive. And I had nobody. I had no replacement. This happened in 3 leagues. So, but in Patreon 1, like, oh, crap. All right, wake up, Jerry. So I look at everybody's rosters, and Jerry Sinclair, the one and only, had Zamir White on his bench. So I sent him an offer for Zamir White, a 3rd and a 5th. And, I mean, it was just an opening offer. I don't know. I guess I should have sent more. So, like, I'm at my father's house for Christmas. He sends me out onto the back deck to grill. And, like, I'm just watching my phone for updates because I had a lot of offers sent. And I see trades been completed in that league. So, all right, sweet. So I look at my phone, and Chris Stroud traded for Zamir White. Just came in and completely sniped me, cock-blocked me.
Wow.
And I just went on complete tilt. I'm screaming, throwing things on my father's deck. It's Christmas. All the family's inside having eggnog and hot cocoa and getting all cozy. And I'm like literally throwing shit and yelling at the dog. It was not a good scene.
Don't blame the dog. Wife
she was the one that was there. I didn't. Wife comes out. She's like, what the hell is your problem? I tried to explain it best I can. She's like, you're a fucking child. Calm the hell down. It's Christmas. And she went back inside. And I'm still on tilt. So I realize, all right, Jerry's awake and looking at his phone. I got to get something done. I look at his roster. He's got Jacoby Myers. I sent him like a 2nd and a 5th or something. All right, done. Get that done. So I got a player to put in. Stroud puts in Zamir White. And this just has been a battle back and forth this game. It ends up Kittle versus Ayuk in the last game. And I need a little bit. I was down like 7 points going in. And Kittle immediately has this long reception. And I'm up. And it's back and forth. And Ayuk's kind of getting the run at the end.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was with that last catch. He beat me by 0.56.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yep. I lost by 0.56. And it was just, I got to give him credit, man. It was masterful to jump in and snipe me on Zamir White. It taught me a lesson not to, like, blast, like, through Patreon chat and league chat. Like, hey, I'm sending offers to this guy. Obviously, he knows who I'm going after. Uh-huh. I just was trying. I knew it was Christmas. And I was just trying to get people's, you know, somebody's attention that they had a trade offer. And I got too many people's attention. He actually started Zamir White against me.
It cost you if you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. It absolutely cost me a game.
That 7 points difference y'all had, because y'all's rosters are beside each other and White and Myers are beside each other. And that 7 point difference cost you.
Also, Amari Cooper on my bench. So if that had gone through or I had started Amari Cooper, I also had Derrick Henry on my bench. I could have just started him over Jacobs on Saturday, or on, you know, I could put that in last Wednesday and not been an idiot and just would have won. So there are three or four things I could have done to win. I didn't win, cost myself draft capital trying to do it. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Your trade in Marvel actually cost me draft capital in Einstein. So I appreciate that. When you bought Zamir White from C. Stroud.
Yeah, why did you do that?
To keep
I had to scramble there. So also Chris Stroud involved in another league where I had Jacobs active. He's like, he actually thinks that Zamir White has a legit chance to take over that job next year in Oakland. I do not. I don't think Jacobs will be there, but I think they'll bring in somebody better than Zamir White. I don't think he's that good. Am I wrong?
I think he's totally better. Good, so I don't see why they bring anyone in, to be honest. He's better than anyone.
Couple guys. I mean, he's not bad. He's a good pure running back.
Better than replacement level, you think?
He's probably at replacement level. So for like Mike just said, as a rebuild, why spend the assets on a running back? I mean, they probably draft one, but drafting one day three doesn't make me feel any better than
what he has. Or they could bring in a cheap vet.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like, I think Rashad White's obviously better, but I think it'd be a similar situation going into next year where they're like, oh, well, they could draft someone. I was like, well, I don't think they really have a need there. They have a lot more need somewhere else. And I think
I was thinking Chuba Hubbard type situation.
Yeah.
Kind
of best case.
Yeah.
So why did you do that, Austin?
Because Abeek lost Jacobs, and on his roster, he had no one that he could put in Jacobs' position.
Oh, I see.
So I messaged C. Stroud about it, the price. Of course, he has White again. So he's like, oh, it's going to be the same thing that Jesse just paid, or I'm not going to do the trade. So I sat there, and I was like, okay. He said, and by the way, your opponent had sent an offer, which he had. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I did it. It was a 26-second and a fourth. And then about 30 minutes later, which I knew would happen, good old Mike comes in and like, oh, here's Saquon. How about that?
He came to me, man. I didn't even know he didn't have anyone to start.
Yeah.
He wanted Saquon and Henry for Stevenson and Jacobs. And I was like, what? And then, of course, you were like, well, I think you didn't pay enough for Saquon.
I thought it was cheap.
Pretty fair.
To be honest. I thought it was a pretty
cheap
offer. I thought it was
in this situation.
Fair. Yeah.
Ramondre and Jacobs for Saquon and Derrick Henry is pretty fair. No,
it was Saquon and Zeke is what the deal ended up being.
Even more fair.
Yeah, in a vacuum, of course. But as everybody talks and as we all experience, the tax of paying for a last-second start in a semifinal is tremendously different.
Yeah, I've got a guy coming after me. I've got a guy coming after me for Connor right now that I lost in a league, and he doesn't want to pay more than a second. And I'm like, man, I was the champ last year. I just got upset. Like, I'm not going to sell him for nothing. Just one second.
I think you have trouble selling him for a second in general. So I think to use him for a week or two, unless you think he's going to be just as useful next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Otherwise, then I'm moving him for a second, especially if it's this year's second, just so I can have the draft capital quicker.
All right, so the finals I'm in 17. My opponent just traded for Flacco.
Well, that should be good for you. No, that's good. He plays the Jets this week. I don't like it at all. I'm scared.
He's still going to YOLO it out. He is still going to – I mean, he may throw four or five picks, but he's still going to have 300 yards and some touchdowns. He doesn't care. He's still going to bomb.
Yeah. I'm terrified to start him this week. I don't like
him. Yeah, I wouldn't start him if I didn't have to.
I think I'm starting Bryce over him this week.
Ooh, that's a bold move, Con. I like it. Who's Bryce playing? Who are the
Panthers playing? Jacksonville. The past month, they've been last in the league in passing and just lost another it was either D-line or DB. So, going to give it a whirl and see what happens.
Let's talk Marvel.
I don't really want to.
I don't either.
All right. Well, this is a league that I've been I've been exhausting resources to get myself into the finals. Every week I've got to make a deal. It's the same deal. I had to make this Zamir White deal, and then I had to trade for Jerick McKinnon the week before. And it's just kind of smacking me in the face, but I still need something. So what do you guys got for me?
I have Javonte, Rashad White. I have Swift, ETN.
I got Pollard, Gup, Adams, Diggs, Kamara.
I think he needs a running back.
Connor.
Nobody's got a tight end.
Oh, yeah.
Well, McBride. Kittle, but we explored that, I think.
Yeah, you don't want anything I have.
I mean, I don't want Fryer Muth in a second.
Well, I was going to add something to it.
But first,
I was going to add something to it.
Demario Douglas.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk running back. Well, let's talk about running back.
I was going to say, I got Eckler. I got Aaron Jones. I got James Conner. I got Alvin Kamara. And I got Tony Pollard.
I like Kamara.
Going to cost you.
Yeah. Brian Robinson?
Oh, no. You know I hate him.
Why do you hate him?
You know I hate him, Jesse. No, he is no good.
I said he's so good.
Oh, no, he's no good.
Before he got hurt, he was running back four. Austin, what do you got for Brian Robinson?
Before he got good. Oh, jeez.
What do I have for him?
I had James Conner.
I think I got Kenneth Gainwell.
You guys are assholes. All right, let's move on. What else do you want to talk about? Now you pissed me off. I don't want to talk trade with you at all. I'm gonna go back to K-Dub.
You like Brian Robinson? I hate Brian Robinson. So why?
We've had this discussion like 10 times on this pod.
Don't insult me.
I've had it every year.
You traded me Brian Robinson in that league, Mike.
I did.
Yes, and Josh Palmer for AJ Dillon.
Oh, yeah, that's because that's how much I hate him. How did I even get him? I would love – now I got to look and see where he even came from. Now he made it on my roster.
All right. What do we need? What can I get for Pacheco?
In that league?
Or, yeah.
I think Kamara for Pacheco is more than fair.
Kind of like that, too.
I think that's a good offer. Makes sense.
I'd like a lot of added to Pacheco, but
I don't think. No offense, I don't think you deserve it. I think Pacheco's got just as bright as outlook. What, 4 years younger?
I mean, yeah, but he's not staying healthy either.
Oh my God.
My goodness! Whoa!
And a camera. Dad is here.
How's it going, fellas?
What's up,
Chad Mendoza?
Yes, sir.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Sure, Grizzly Adams had a beard.
I'm sure that's an old man reference, but
it is.
it's nice to be back. That is a great thing to be welcomed by.
Are you in the same house, Chad? I feel like I haven't seen you on here in so long. But it used to be like baby toys and bouncy things behind you, and then it was a Peloton behind you, and now it looks like you're in a cabin.
Yeah, same house.
Sex dungeon or something like that. Okay.
Same house. Yeah. Same house, but yeah, in the sex dungeon tonight. So.
In the sex dungeon. Nice. Live from the sex dungeon of Texas.
Chad's check sex dungeon. Woo, off the rails fast.
Oh, Chad. Hey, you want to go to the A&M game tomorrow, Chad? I'm just kidding. You don't have to, but I might.
I mean, I'm off work tomorrow, man. I might take you up on that. I don't know.
I might have free tickets. I'm waiting for them to get delivered from BetTix. So
nice.
I don't think anybody wants to go to that game.
Nothing spells success like off on a Wednesday, huh?
Ah, man, you wouldn't believe. You know, this company works some crazy hours. So yeah, it's nice to be off. But enough of that. We're live. What are we talking about my job for?
Because we missed you, Chad.
Yeah, we got to
But what's going on, guys? What are we talking about? Are we talking about I got kicked out of in the playoffs this year? Are we talking about?
Yeah, talking about how Jesse
not a league you actually left.
Half the leagues I lost, Jesse beat me. Yeah.
We're trying to work a deal.
In Marvel.
Oh, nice.
Pacheco and Kamara. What's the difference, Chad? Or is it equal?
Pacheco going to guy out of playoffs, Kamara going to the guy to the championship.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's really league dependent because it's just the last game of the year. Who knows what Alvin Kamara is going to do next season? But at the same time, if you made it to the finals and you have a spot on your roster where you even have an ounce of question about what's going on there, yeah. Man, you're killing to get Kamara on your roster right now. So,
are you though? That 9 points last year. Last week, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but look at everything. Look at everything else he's done.
Got Tampa this week as well, so not a lovely matchup, but not bad.
That's not a good matchup at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not getting it done on the ground anyway. He's getting it done.
That's you're just looking for the targets, really.
Yeah.
Which I mean, he's probably going to get against Tampa. And Tampa's. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they've been scoring a lot of points too. So,
yeah, I viewed it about dead even. That's kind of where I was at as the third party in the trade. I think it should be a 1-for-1, pretty fair offer.
Mike, let me ask you this, just to complicate it even more. Do you have a tight end besides
Kittle? No, I got like Taysom.
Yeah, I'm looking at Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He's been garbage for 2 weeks.
I know. He was great. They were using him a lot when Carr was sucking.
Yeah. Yeah, Carr was actually good last week, so.
Well, no, Carr was terrible, but if Carr doesn't get him to the red zone, if Carr gets him to the red zone, Taysom comes in. The problem was last week were all big plays, so.
I didn't watch it. He just had good numbers. See, that's why you have to watch the games. You can't just look at the box scores. All right. You want to just get this done, Mike? I mean, Kamara's 28. It's really kind of literally a YOLO move for me. I love Pacheco. I don't want to get rid of him.
Oh my god!
Glad I can make it for this episode.
Yeah,
it's sent.
Riveting.
I traded.
This is all we've done.
I traded Nick Chubb the week before for him too. Take a loss.
This sounds like an off-air conversation. Is what this is turning into.
All right, it's sent.
I'll just let you, gentlemen. I'll just let it steal.
Be nice if I had a game ready.
I thought we were talking leagues.
We are. Well, actually, I think what we need to do is get ready for next week. And that's what I'm trying to do is introduce trade talk, right? So, I mean, throwing out random targets just kind of doesn't.
So here's some question because of the injuries. So Hockenson, right?
Mm-hmm.
If only guy you have is Hawk, is there someone you're moving off to for Hawk if they're on a team that's not in the championship? And
praying I can go one for one for McBride, especially if I can get some plus on it.
That'd be hard for a rebuild, I bet. Or, yeah. I mean, a rebuild, but I mean, it's on a non-competing
but, team. I mean, and now you only have two competing teams. So at this point, there's a good chance there's a lot of teams that are pretty dang good that could have McBride as the tight end too. And I think most people would view Hawk as the better option for next year, barring the ACL health.
What about Kittle straight up?
Oh, no.
No. Mm-mm. No way. Mm-mm. No way. So what would you have to add to Hawk to get to LaPorta?
True.
I mean, cause
way more than you want to right now.
You definitely have to add to him. Yeah. What about Kincaid straight up? Since he's kind of
for a contender.
I don't think you want to do that though.
Yeah.
I don't think for if you're looking to win a league this season and you're in the finals, I'm not trading Hawk for Kincaid. I'm trying to get somebody that's, you know, teetering on that value going forward, but also has the immediate impact that you're gonna need to win a championship and get some money out of it. So I'm looking at
like Jake Ferguson.
I mean, I'm looking at the guys like if I can keep Hawk and get a David Njoku, or I can get an Evan Engram. Those are the guys I'm going after.
Exact two names I was thinking. I agree totally.
Njoku, Engram. What about Ferguson? Is he in that group?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that too.
Yeah, but the only thing with Ferguson is if there's a difference between a guy out of the playoffs and has Njoku on his roster, and a guy out of the playoffs that has Ferguson on his roster, right? He might say, okay, well. Tight ends age slowly. This guy's looked really good. He's on the Cowboys, who've historically had really good tight end production. And Jason Witten, he's a kind of Jason Witten light right now. People are excited about him. People are not going to be itching to give him away. And also, he's not bringing the production that those other two guys are having. You look at an Evan Engram just because of how long he's been around, and in Njoku, how long he's been a failure up until this point. And those guys are just much easier to acquire, and the production that you're getting out of it, I mean, it's a much higher ceiling right now. You're looking at a guy that can put up a 30-point game in a premium league for in Njoku, which I don't think Ferguson's going to get you anywhere near. You're hoping in, like, the mid-teens with Ferguson right now.
That's why and I was trying to say the same thing about the McBride. I feel like it's the same kind of thing for the team that's not in the playoffs. To have McBride would be the same kind of argument as Ferguson, right?
Yeah,
so, I think so too. That's how I feel. But.
Yeah, I agree. It makes sense. It does suck losing
Hawk. If you can get Engram or Njoku over the line and keep Hawk, I mean, that's the best of both worlds right there. Because, I mean, if you got to give up 2 seconds to get one of those guys, which I think is very possible, like a maybe a 24-second and a future second, and get one of those guys and keep Hawk on your roster. Hawk's a good asset to have going forward, man. He looks really good in that offense.
Yeah.
So he's the finished product of what you're hoping Ferguson and Trey McBride turn out to be as far as going forward longevity-wise. So that's the play that I have.
I think Kirk stays there too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I hope so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think so.
Especially, sorry, this is my deep, deep insights here. But after, you know, just being a family man, like uprooting his family a couple times, like,
yeah.
I don't think he's about that. He knows he's at the tail end of his career. Like, why completely uproot your family? Because, I mean, how many years has he been in Minnesota? 3, 4?
Yeah, I think
it's been a long time.
Yeah. So, and he's got young kids, and I totally get it. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he took a team friendly, which team friendly I would say is probably around like 20, 25 mil for a year or two.
I mean, and this is a guy you're talking about looking at just his early season production, and you're saying, man, this could be a guy in contention for MVP.
Yeah, it was his best year by far. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if Minnesota on their end is itching to get rid of that if they can get a team friendly deal.
He's made way over market on his contracts throughout his career, considering who he's been. Never really won anything. He's been one of the top highest paid quarterbacks, especially in guaranteed money, throughout his career, especially the way Washington handled the franchise tag. They kept screwing themselves with that, and then he just got this mega contract and then a mega extension. It's easy for me to say somebody should take less money because they made more money before, because it's not my money. But maybe that enters into it a little bit, like, hey, Minnesota's already paid me a ton of money. Maybe it's a good place to stay.
I mean, Peyton did it going into his last 2 years. I mean, obviously, I'm sure he's made a lot more than Kirk, but I think Kirk's
plus about the
shiny penny too.
So. I think they
talk about this.
JJ a lot as well. I think he knows that contract's coming, so I think it would make sense for him to stay with JJ. Not to mention you have Addison and Hawk. I mean, there's not going to be many better offensive situations.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you keep working on the line maybe a little bit in the offseason and the draft, and I don't know if it could be a much better offense, because it was humming for a while before JJ got hurt, and even still.
I think it's a little weird, though, that we're approaching this from, like, does Kirk Cousins want to stay in Minnesota point of view? Of course he does. It's what does Minnesota want to bring him back with the Achilles? I mean, I guess Aaron Rodgers has shown us that unless this is all smoke, you know, him coming off the IR and all that, I guess Achilles isn't the death knell that it used to be for a quarter. Well, maybe for a quarterback.
And I think with a if there's any quarterback in the league, right, or any prototype of quarterback in the league where an Achilles is not really going to be – I mean, obviously Achilles is going to affect anybody and everybody, but where it's not going to affect as much, it's going to be a guy like Kirk Cousins, which you're not expecting him to move anyways. You just got to fix the line for him. And let him be as statuesque as possible and feed the ball to his targets, which, I mean, he's made a hell of a career doing. He hasn't been able to move around really well in years. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just think if I'm Minnesota, man, I'm looking at what happened at quarterback this season across the league, and I'm like, okay, we need to bring this guy back at all costs. We don't have the draft capital to bring in somebody right now. We can go and take a guy if anybody falls in the first or second round later on, but that's a developmental guy, and you got a roster to make a push right now. You can't just bring in just anybody, especially with Justin Jefferson. A guy like that is not going to stick around on a team that is not getting good quarterback play.
Nope.
You don't think they would potentially target someone like Jimmy G?
No,
I hope not.
But he's so handsome.
I mean,
I'm trying to think who else would be out there, but there aren't, you know, you look
across Fields the league, that doesn't have a quarterback is looking at Kirk Cousins and saying, we wish we had this guy on our roster, right?
Absolutely.
Now. Sure. Yeah. I guess you're right. It happened after Aaron Rodgers, but did they have the same surgery? Do you know?
Aaron said he put him in contact with the same surgeon and therapy team. So he said, last I saw on the Pat McAfee show, he said that he's been in talks with him every couple weeks and trying to get him on the same regimen. But, you know, he said it's up to Kirk what he does. I don't know. But that's probably a month ago when I heard that. So I don't know what's happened since.
All right. Well, good luck, Kirk Cousins, I guess.
Can we go to the next one since I sparked the conversation? Jalen Waddle.
Yeah,
that's where I was going, so I'm glad you brought it up.
So number one, I guess, assuming two of the teams in the final don't have Tyreek Hill, maybe that's what's
exactly
the order.
Where I was going.
And but if he is, you have Waddle and you've got a big hole in your roster, what level of wide receiver or are you giving up to?
Well, all right, let's say Waddle's in a flex spot.
What about IU?
I don't want to do it straight, but it's very interesting. That's a name I would love, and it's a great matchup against Washington. Oh, my God, it's a good matchup.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting everybody on San Francisco.
I mean, you always start everybody on San Francisco.
I'm going to start Juszczyk. I'm just Darnold. I'm going to start Darnold because he's going to come in at halftime.
If you're trading Waddle right now, Ayuk is the kind of trade you're going to be forced into, to be honest with you, because nobody's giving you a premium for Waddle right now. It's just not – it's not a good time to be trading him. And that with the injury just happening too, people are going to be looking at your roster and saying, okay, if you're in the finals, you have Waddle, and we've seen him, you know, go through his struggles this year, and then also having the injury now. I mean, they're trying to take advantage of you. There's nobody that's going to give you a premium for Waddle before the injury, and they're not going to do it now. Definitely not now.
I think the last week without Tyreek and seeing what Waddle did probably eased a lot of people's minds to show that, okay, Waddle still is the same guy. He can still go for 150 and a touchdown without Tyreek. And I think that was what we were nervous about after seeing the more quote-unquote down year. So for me personally, with multiple Waddle shares, that kind of uplifted me back up and realized, okay, he still has what I thought he had, and it's been more of just a down year kind of thing.
Well, it's just been just such a crazy year for Tyreek. He's taken it to such a higher level. What about Devontae Smith?
I don't really want to do either straight up, Ayuk or Smith, personally.
All right, well, you can just sit with Waddle on your roster, though.
Yeah, that's basically what you're going to have to do. Yeah, I would do Devontae Smith if I was in a pinch. I would do Smith.
Smith over Ayuk, you think?
I'd rather have Smith long term.
I don't agree.
Oh man.
Give me Ayuk.
You'd rather Ayuk long term? Mm-hmm. What about you, Mike?
It's but y'all know how I feel about him. I've been saying it all year.
Yeah, it's neck and neck, but I mean Ayuk's a beast. I don't know.
I think everyone has to realize that Ayuk is now in that low end wide receiver one territory.
Yeah.
And he's gonna be priced that way.
Yeah. Who's in that low end wide receiver one who's my favorite wide receiver in the NFL in that category right now?
Go for it.
Michael Pittman. I'm trying to get him everywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Pittman, huh?
Man, he looks so good. And I think he's still pretty easy to acquire for what you're getting.
Okay, so Waddle or Pittman?
I'm taking Pittman.
Ooh.
I'm taking Pittman. And it's pretty close, but I probably would have them neck and neck. But, man, just seeing what Pittman can do in an offense, it's not really ideal. And if Anthony Richardson's just any good, then Pittman's going to be really, really good.
Been doing great with Minshew, so.
Yeah, and I think AR showed that he is pretty good. You know, he's going to go through rookie growing pains, but that's not going to hurt Pittman's production.
Yeah,
turnovers and stuff.
Yeah, his career started interesting, really getting in the doghouse and not blocking and, you know, all that stuff. But you watched him last night, and, man, a dude gets after it. And that last Ayuk.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Remember he got in the Shanahan doghouse and he wasn't starting because he wasn't blocking.
Yeah, I was talking about AR, though, and I was like,
oh, sorry.
Wants their quarterback to block. I got so confused for a moment.
Come on, didn't you see Drew Lock get the block 2 weeks ago? That was touchdown worthy. Yeah.
I'm a little worried Pittman doesn't look as good with AR, but
he looked good with AR, actually. He was targeting.
He looked really good with AR.
It just scares me. It worries me. I mean, Minshew's not a bad quarterback. He's not a good quarterback, but he's a pretty decent passer, so.
You're still hoping AR is better than Minshew, though. You know, like, I mean, you've got to hope. I mean, Minshew's good. I mean, I think Minshew's one of the premium backups in the NFL.
Sure.
If I'm being honest, I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But, man, if AR is not better than Minshew as a passer, then what are we doing? You know,
we're doing a raw quarterback that's an elite athlete that we're hoping turns into a passer. I mean, that's what we're looking at.
I don't think he's raw, though. I think he's a pretty good passer.
Oh, come on.
Richardson?
Yes.
Richardson's a pretty good passer. And he reads defenses pretty well, too.
He's raw as far as consistent accuracy and as far as being an NFL-level processor. He's obviously got
all that.
I mean, he's better than Lamar was coming out.
He looks better than
Lamar.
That's undeniable.
He was a much better passer than Lamar coming out.
He looked better than Lamar.
It's not even close.
My big concern with AR is just the ability to stay on the field. If you're a rushing quarterback and you get shoulder injuries and shit like that because of his style of play, it's because he loves to initiate contact as a quarterback. I don't like that. So I am trading him for, I told Chad this today, I'm trading him for an established top seven level quarterback anywhere I can this offseason.
Yeah, you three. I feel like you got 5 weeks is scary.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Wait, you trade him, college him injury. In a second for Lamar?
I traded
Anthony Richardson, Rashee Rice, my 24 second, so 11 or 12.
Yeah, late second.
For
yeah,
Lamar,
nice
a fifth and a fourth. I didn't say 12. I was nice. I was nice. I said 11 or 12.
Okay.
I like it. No, man, I like your style, dude. You should have just said 12.
I would have said 12.
I know. There's our differences, though.
But yeah, no, I was telling Jesse, I thought that was a good trade.
I like it
for what he needed. And Jesse said he doesn't like Rashee Rice that much either, which I really do like Rashee Rice.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
You said he's a bum.
I said I think he's.
And Chad said Mahomes is a bum. So there's just tons of bums.
What?
Chad did say that.
Chad did say that. In
Chad does hate Mahomes.
It's on print.
You're telling a guy who went to the same college as Mahomes and loves Mahomes.
I can't believe
that he thinks he's a bum. Yeah, no, exactly. I don't think. I think he's an overrated dynasty asset. For
wait,
what you
went
to
Muppet?
You
went to Muppet University?
Didn't graduate from Muppet there, but I went to Texas Tech.
The Muppet University.
Yeah, Muppet University.
No, what I said, Chad, was that I see Rashee Rice as a mid to low end wide receiver too.
So he's a bum.
Going forward. That's not a bum. It's a useful player. I mean, that's what I see.
Great
T. Higgins.
Status.
T. Higgins is more of a high to mid wide receiver. Too.
He's a bum too, apparently. Addison's going to be a bum because Jefferson's
there. Rashee Rice is making Mahomes look good. So, I mean, what does that tell you?
I like Rashee Rice. But I don't see. I don't see him as a like downfield alpha threat.
Well, that's okay. A lot of really good receivers.
Yeah,
I don't think
he really needs to be. I mean, he's a possession monster, man. He's a good playmaker.
Yeah, they are using him as that. So, like, I see him as a good number two for them, and they're going to bring in number one level talent next year, whether it's as a free agent or through trade or draft.
It's probably going to have to be a draft, if I had to guess, unless they can trade for one.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
there's
going to
be
good,
seven first round.
That's what I was
going to
ask you guys. How many wide receivers you guys think are gonna be in the first round this year?
It kind of depends on what you think
six
of
and a half right now.
I think it's eight.
What you think?
I think there's going to be eight.
Xavier Leggett, if you think he's a first rounder.
Yeah,
and Adonai Mitchell.
That's way off topic.
Yeah,
I don't know any of these people.
He will.
He's the new DK. Yeah.
No,
Leggett is the new DK.
He's more like Debo to me. And same.
All right,
school,
so
for
we've touched on the guys that are you're kind of going out there and looking to get if you're a playoff team. But who's the target for you guys that you're like, okay, I just got exited out of the playoffs, or maybe I've been out of the playoffs, had no business being in the playoffs, and I'm looking to improve my roster, have a strong buy low candidate now. Who's that guy for you guys?
Can I buy low on Mahomes? Can it get any lower?
Honestly, probably.
Yeah.
I honestly think you can.
Mahomes, I thought Pittman was a really good call. You got to scan their IR, but whatever, elite talent they have on their IR. Herbert.
Yeah.
Mandrews.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all injured guys. Let me skip over those. Other.
Burrow.
I
might buy it low on Mike Williams if I could, to be honest. I don't know, call me crazy, but
you've always loved him.
You know who I've been buying low?
I don't have enough of him, but yeah, apparently I do. I mean, his name is Mike, so
that's a reason to get him. But Drake London for me is a guy that I've been trying to buy.
You just traded for him.
Yeah, I'm science, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's go over that trade.
Oh, did I trade Einstein?
Yeah.
Really?
Einstein's, pretty sure. That was Njoku and Jackson Smith and Jigba, you traded to me. We went over this last week. So, and Austin, you said you wanted to talk to Chad about that trade. So let's
go. Yeah, you called him out. True. You said that
that's
was
a good point.
You said that was a stupid trade, and Chad made no sense.
Yeah, you said Chad.
From what was I remember, he was like, planet. That was the dumb. He's like, Einstein's more like, you know,
it was
morons.
Up there with Mahomes.
Nice. I like it. I don't even remember the trade. So what was it?
All right. I got you. It was Drake London, 224 seconds for Njoku and JSN. Both seconds are playoff seconds.
You were making Yaki.
Oh, I really like the class. Those are 24 seconds, right?
Yeah, both.
Yeah,
are,
I think there's going to be some premium players.
8 and 10, I think is what it ends up being.
Yeah, I think those are going to be. I think those are going to be good players. To be honest with you, I think
so. It was the seconds that did it. That was.
Yeah, it was the seconds. I like Njoku, but man, it's just, you know, basing that all on 1 year and hoping it sticks for him. And then also, it was I think a couple of weeks ago, right? So even before
it was last week.
He was showing. Oh, was it last week? God, see, I don't even know what's going on. But anyways, it's just, you know. I have a ton of Njoku shares. I have them in all my leagues except for, I think, 3 or 4. So it's just about lowering my percentage of ownership on Njoku. And then also I don't have a lot of Drake London. I have a lot of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and he scares the absolute shit out of me.
Does he?
Why yeah, that? He scares the
Why?
Shit out of me. Because he just hasn't looked good. I just look for players. I just look
– He's
yeah,
looked
I mean,
excellent.
I don't think
he
so.
He just doesn't get a lot of run. He's in a run-first offense – and is like the third passing option because he's behind two established veterans.
So when
did you watch the Eagles game?
Well, yeah, I watched the Eagles game.
He balled, not just that touchdown either.
I'm talking about consistently over the season. I haven't seen a lot of – like when I watched Jalen Waddle, right, or I watched Garrett Wilson in their rookie years, and you just see like even when they weren't being consistently productive, or Drake London, they have these plays – where you're like, man, if they get a good quarterback, it's going to be amazing. Where Jaxon Smith-Njigba for me, and maybe, you know, I should know this coming out, but I think he's just going to have to be a target hog in that offense to be really productive.
I don't think you've watched him enough.
I watched him
because I have seen those flashes. That touchdown catch, he burnt well. I could burn James Bradbury right now, but he burnt James Bradbury and caught the back half of the ball. It was a beautiful play.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about over the season, right? Like I'm not talking about.
He's made
I'm
a not, number of those plays. Like
I just don't agree. I haven't seen it over the course of the season. Okay. I've watched a lot of Seahawks football. I really like. I really like him as a player. I just think he's going to have to be dominant in that offense. And I have so many shares of him where I'm just like, man, if it doesn't work out, like I'm screwed. Yeah. And I don't between him and Bryce Young, I just have so many shares. I want to get rid of some.
I'm going to hit you on that second one after this, but your reasoning made sense. So I let off the hook of my disdain on the trade, but hold no, that's not my point of it. But let's say Lockett leaves, he becomes the 1B. Do you feel totally different about that? If next year it's him and DK and he becomes more of the target guy and DK is more of the longer, you know, deep threat, do you feel much better about that?
And I have enough shares to be comfortable with where I sit after that. I just like Drake London as a player too. And I think if Drake London's situation changes, he drastically changes as well. So I just think it's a trade-off where I've taken a player where I have a much lower percentage of ownership with Drake London, and I'm trading that off for a player I have a really high percentage of, where I'm saying, okay, maybe I have a few more doubts or just as much doubts as I have of Drake London, and just kind of flip-flopping him. So for me, that's just an even trade-off, and that's how I saw it. And then the 2 seconds, I saw that as Njoku, where I'm saying, okay, you know what, I have a lot of Njoku shares. I think this class is going to be filled with premium talent going into the second round. I'm happy with those being mid to later round seconds. That's cool with me, and I'll take the shot on it.
Okay.
So
I don't have a problem with that.
When we talk about a player that scares the shit out of me, it's Drake London.
Oh,
right?
No.
Because
talent's there.
I mean, the talent's there. Don't get me wrong. I think the talent's there with JSN as well. The thing with London, though, is we have to bet on a huge upgrade at quarterback and coaching.
No,
I don't know that
situations change so fast in the NFL.
They do, yeah. But if you're the JSN owner, you know that the coaching is stable in Pete Carroll, even though it's less optimal right? It's kind of a floor play in coaching.
We don't and know then, that. He could retire anytime. He's
always you know good. That the quarterback is pretty stable as well with Geno as a base level average quarterback. At least you have that. It's not Ritter and Heinicke. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, it's not going to be those two in Atlanta next year. Maybe it's Fields, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's something way worse. You know what I mean? Just betting that change is positive is also risky, very risky.
Well, because I don't think that trade involves betting though, because when you're betting on a player, that tells me that you're taking a large ownership share of that player across leagues, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm doing is playing the field in that trade and saying, okay, I have enough JSN, don't have enough Drake London. If JSN goes bad, I want it to hurt me as minimally as possible without losing a ton of value. And that's what I feel like this trade does. It's just evening out the risk, basically.
Right on. Well, I'm arguing the risk personally, because I have minimal exposure to both players. You know, I have probably three shares at most of both players.
Cool. So, but yeah, that brings me into guys like, you know, like Bryce Young, which I know you're going to want to talk about too, but that's a guy I have a lot of ownership shares on. And right now I'm kind of stuck with him, which I'm fine with. I still think he's going to be a good player. Yeah. So I'm fine with it. But at the same time, like, it's not a situation you guys know I'm comfortable with, where, and that's why I usually have a strict rule of, hey, this is how much percentage I have of a player locked in. Never break it. I've done it for Bryce Young. I did it for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And, yeah, wrong move both times. So,
well, I don't think the JSN move was ever for this year. I think you drafted him not for this year. So, to me, it's – I don't want to call it a wash. It's kind of like Kendre Miller. I drafted Kendre Miller not for this year. I wanted to see some. He happened to get hurt before the season started. Okay, Sean Tucker.
Okay.
So, like, I didn't draft him for 2023. I drafted him for the next year. Same thing with JSN. We didn't draft him for 2023.
Can we say Trey flashes. McBride instead? Can we? It's like Trey McBride, where he's blocked the first year and will break out the second year.
Yeah.
So I didn't draft JSN to be an elite wide receiver in the first year, but I drafted him to see good wide receiver two production that would elevate his value. Enough production where people said, like, this is like anticipatory buzz on this player that just extends and increases his value more. And I think a lot of people did. There was people placing bets that he would receive 140 targets this year.
Oh God.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like I never got to that level. Of course not. I mean, with rookies, they're always hard to predict, and you could see any number of outcomes for these players. But I did expect to see enough to where he could maintain the level of buzz he had pre-draft, and maybe I could make some value on that. Didn't happen, and so yeah, I mean, breaking your ownership percentage is not worth it.
Let's get to Bryce. Back to Bryce Young. I see him as a fine quarterback three, because
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Are you okay, Mike? I see him as a fine quarterback three because he's the developmental guy that you want, right? He's the developmental guy that you want. Like I said, you can't bet that all change is going to be positive, but, you know, it didn't work with the first coaching regime. Hopefully Detroit's offensive coordinator will do better. Or there's other names. I guess Texans offensive coordinator could be in the mix.
I don't know if you would leave that early, but man.
Did anybody watch Bryce this week by chance?
No, but I did just see because I looked at DJ Chark and I was like, he had like 27 points in one of my leagues, and I was like, what did he do? And he got two touchdowns.
So he finally started catching the ball.
Yeah, that's
and barely too.
Of his for a long time.
He almost had a costly, what was it, a fumble or something? Mm-hmm. That they just ruled him down by contact. It was something stupid where I was like, oh, Chark will Chark.
So how did Bryce look this week, Austin?
Oh, phenomenal. Like,
really?
Honestly, phenomenal. Not even from a bias standpoint. The dude looked like a legit upper tier quarterback. Now,
so what was
playing the Packers may be the difference. Maybe the difference. but he still made the throws. That's what we haven't seen a lot of. Honestly, he just looks unlocked, and that's the easiest way I can say it. And the line gave him more than 1.5 seconds per dropback. Mm. Otherwise, man, he that's just made the throws. Like it's he finally made those 15 to 25 yard passes that we saw him do so much in college, and he's finally done it. It was impressive to watch, man. He probably had 6 or 7 throws where I'm like, that's the Bryce I remember in Alabama, or the playmaker Bryce. His feet look a lot more calm in the pocket, which again probably alludes back to actually having a little bit of time in the pocket. And they're doing a lot more under center, which he didn't do at Bama, but it's working for the offense. So it's giving him more time, and the flow of the offense is being more productive. But also, Chark caught a couple passes that a lot of them have not been catching. So that makes a big difference as well. It was a really good sign. And of course, I traded my first Bryce share away before last week for Justin Fields. I had another injury to the quarterback room, so I needed a quarterback for the super flex spot. And traded Bryce and I think it was Bryce and Charbonnet for Fields. And I've never been a Charbonnet guy, so it was basically just, you know, a late second for me for Fields. And of course, Bryce outscored him, so that went good. But yeah, I was highly impressed and very happy to see it as a fan and as a dynasty manager of Bryce.
How did Mingo look?
Non-existent.
Non-existent, okay.
He was the third or fourth option in the offense. Chark, Thielen, and Trimble were the top three options.
Jesus.
Right. Trimble looked really good, like surprisingly good.
I mean, I thought he was pretty much just a blocker.
Well, he came out of college a lot like Kittle. Elite blocking, high athleticism, very raw as a receiver. Mm. And it takes the right kind of coaching to improve to get close to Kittle. So who knows? Most likely they try to find another tight end again because I think Hurst might have to retire. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, really? It's that bad?
Yeah, they said he was having blackout spells and forgetting stuff randomly and stuff like that. So it's not good. But, yeah, it's still a mess, but Bryce looked like the Bryce that I was hoping for when he got drafted one overall.
All right, let's talk about another scary guy then that you just brought up in Fields. Is this a guy that – what's up?
It was like the starter for
Atlanta QB.
I hope so.
I wonder what's really going to happen there.
Atlanta, Vegas, and honestly, Minnesota would be my
top three. They're not going to keep him.
Thoughts?
I would put money on him being traded.
The only way he stays is if Carolina wins the next two.
They don't have the number one.
Washington and New England lose out, and it'll bump Carolina to 3 pick. That's the only way Fields stays in Chicago, in my opinion.
Did you see the meme? Did you see the meme that what Chicago would do with the first two picks?
No.
If anybody's, you guys remember Office Space, the movie?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I'd do with all that money? 2 girls at the same time. Hey, you know what I'd do with the first 2 picks? 2 busts at the same time, man. I always wanted to do that.
Oh, man.
So actually, I'm seeing MHJ mocked 2nd to the Cardinals.
So they're trading up.
Man. No. Who's got number 2 right now?
New England has 2 right now. Don't they? I could be wrong. I thought New England had 2.
The mocks I looked at today had Arizona 2.
Didn't Arizona go 2?
Arizona's 2, yeah. Because New England beat Denver, dude.
I mean, New England won. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Did you all watch that game? That
changes a lot.
Yeah, I watched that game. I was so bad for you, Mike.
That was like when they had the – because like New England scores the touchdown. I was like, okay, whatever. But then they fumble the kickoff and they return the kickoff for a touchdown. And I'm just like, how is this happening right now? Like Zappe has not been good. Like, this has not been like a great game. And then we get the ball back in the tie game with just under 2 minutes to go. And I was like, just get in field goal range. And then they don't. And then Zappe gets in field goal range in like 30 seconds. And the kicker couldn't hit a 35-yarder, and it's a 56-yarder. I was like, what? It's like, this is why I hate. This is why I hate having a team. I just grew up a fantasy football fan.
It's just as frustrating, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know.
Tell you guys what, it is a really bad year for Fields to go out into the market. I wouldn't want to be him hitting the trade market or hitting the free agency. Any of these quarterbacks, I think they're gonna have a tough time this year because there's
why do you say that? So many teams need them.
And there's gonna be some really good quarterbacks coming out. Yeah. There's gonna be so many good quarterbacks coming out, and then also it's gonna be a really divisive class. So there's gonna be somebody out there for everybody. There's all different kinds of players. And then the third thing is you saw how many of these quarterbacks just weren't good enough. And so a team doesn't want to waste more time and money paying, you know, the premium of the quarterback position requires at this point for a quarterback that another team is getting rid of when they weren't producing for that team. And Fields falls into that category. I mean, yeah, we've seen flashes. A lot of us believe in the talent, but man, are you going to want to go out and pay Fields right now? To run a franchise and try to, you know, win you some hardware.
Taking into account is a coach's ego. And man, I see that guy. I can turn that guy into an all pro.
Yeah, but a coach would also rather do that with a rookie than somebody who's been in the NFL getting beat up for three years now.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you evaluate Fields versus these rookies coming out. Absolutely, yeah. But there are a lot of quarterback jobs open in the NFL.
Would you pay Darnold's trade value for Fields if you're a GM? A second, fourth, and a sixth? And then, you know, you have to sign or not. You're going to have – if you make the trade, you have to sign his fifth-year option. So you're basically 2 years – 2 years for what, like $25 million, I think it is –
for a second, fourth, that. And sixth?
For a second, absolutely. Fourth, and sixth. That's where I'm at. Absolutely. I would too. If I'm Vegas, I'm Atlanta. Absolutely.
Because you can't get a quarterback with a second round pick unless you're the Eagles.
Yeah, unless you get lucky.
It's not about whether or not you can get a quarterback with a second round pick. It's about, is he going to make a difference, right? And so you're going to have to bring in this guy with a second round pick knowing you're going to have to pay him. This year and next year, you're gonna have to if it works out or if it doesn't work out.
It's only 2 years.
Either way, I mean,
but you're not even paying that much. Yeah, it's like a 2 year, $25 million is basically the contract what it would be with the year four and your fifth year option.
Oh, because I keep thinking this is the fourth year. Okay,
no, this is his offseason year where they have to decide.
So yeah, with two more years, that wouldn't be bad. But then you're also a team just betting on Fields right now.
Yeah, I think the Josh McDaniel, side of every coach where, the quote, don't worry, boys, I can turn anybody into an all pro, sees Justin Fields and is like, I can win a Super Bowl with him. Arthur Smith, I don't even know if he's going to be Atlanta's coach next year. But I could envision it. Talking about where exactly he's going to go is ridiculous because we don't know the inside workings.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, Ian Rappaport, but I think he's going to find a spot, I think he's going to find another team. I just don't know if it's going to be good for him, good for the team, if it's going to work out or not. What's his trade value in Dynasty is what I want to know.
Well, apparently I view him about Bryce Young. So. Late second kind of thing is kind of where he's at.
Yeah.
Playoff first and second.
I mean, he could be nothing after next year.
That's the scary part is, but I mean, he's still a 24 year old. And I think he's 24, high ceiling fantasy quarterback.
How about this? I'll list off some quarterbacks. Tell me where the line is for each one of you. Okay. So I'm going to start at Russell Wilson.
Fields. But hold on. Am I a contender or am I middle of the pack? Am I a rebuilder? Because that's going to make a big difference. If I'm a contender, give me – actually, nah. Give me Fields either way.
Let's just say vacuum. God. Let's just say vacuum. Fields. Because there's so many different scenarios where, yeah, maybe you take another player over another player. So let's
Fields.
Just say vacuum.
I want Fields either way.
Actually. Yeah,
Fields. In a startup.
Fields and fantasy, yeah.
Stafford. Yeah, and we're talking strictly fantasy here.
Fields.
Fields, but that's a lot closer for me.
Watson.
All right, so I just paid Watson in a second for Fields in a third like 3 weeks ago.
I'm just done with Watson. So I'm going to say
same.
Fields. Yeah, I think I'm going to take Fields, and I don't like it at all.
Okay. I think that's where it gets a little bit iffy for me. They're probably even for me. Yeah. Bryce Young.
I think I'm going to take Bryce Young because he's younger and my window's longer.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Young too.
And I believe in the talent more, to be perfectly honest, even though the situation's an absolute mess.
I agree.
Here's a fun one. This is a really fun one. Will Levis.
Fields.
Ooh, that is fun.
Fields. I don't know if Levis starts next year.
Yeah.
It's awful close. It's awful close for me. You don't know if Levis starts next year?
Yeah. Levis has looked pretty good. What are you
talking about? I think he's looked excellent.
He's looked better than Bryce Young.
And I think he's looked very coachable.
Yeah, he's looked really good.
I think he's had a couple of big throws, and that's about it that I've seen. Every other play, he's getting sacked. Once,
well, yeah, I mean, once, the team around him is trash, but yeah, I mean, he's looked pretty good.
Once he showed that he could make those cross the field crazy throws and probably should have thrown more interceptions than he did, he stopped doing that and playing. It started playing within the system, and he obviously got coached up by Vrabel. It's obvious to me. And he's doing what the coaching staff is telling them to do, which I think is a huge positive for him. He's playing within himself, which really is probably the biggest knock against Levis is that he's too much. He was too much of a gunslinger. So, and he showed, was it 2 weeks ago with the game winning drive that he still got it in him.
I mean, he's still got that gunslinger. He's done that a couple times this season where he's looked really good clutch late in games.
I got two more names.
But I think I like that one. But I'd probably have Fields, but that one's a fun one, I think. Because I think it could go either way how it plays out. Sam Howell.
Fields.
And then I'm just gonna do like four or five more here, because I think the other ones are obviously ahead. Jordan Love.
That's the one I wanted to know.
I do love him in a heartbeat.
Fields.
Love.
I think Love has looked absolutely fantastic.
He's way safer.
I think he's looked like a really good player in a bad offense. I think he's going to look really good when that offense gets better, if that offense gets better. But
if they upgrade their offensive line, I think they've got a shot to be pretty good next year. They've got a lot of talent on offense now. It's just really young. Needs to develop.
This is one where I think I'm going to take this player over Fields, and I think you guys are going to laugh at me. But Jared Goff.
Goff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Goff.
Give me a Goff extension, and Goff's going to soar up my rankings.
Yeah.
If Goff were to become a free agent in this league, at least half the teams in the league would be bidding on him.
Yeah.
There's no way that he...
He's Kirk Cousins a few years ago, is what he is.
Yeah,
that's what he is. Yep.
Yeah. There's no way I'm giving up Goff.
With some elite weapons, too.
Yep.
Rock solid, back end quarterback number one. He's going to be 8, 9, 10 for you every year.
Okay. And then Brock Purdy.
Purdy.
Okay. DTC has Justin Fields ahead of all those guys.
Yeah, I got off of that. I was looking at that, too, and I was like, this site's gone crazy for me right now. So I went over to KTC, and they do as well, minus Purdy. And I was like, okay, maybe that's just the Dynasty community.
Yep. Purdy's yeah,
well,
the top
yeah, DTC
out of
is
all
based
of
off, of, yep. off of actual trades. So, Fields, that's absolute madness to me, how he's still, valued that highly. I don't see that across the leagues I'm in, but I'm also playing with good dynasty players. So sometimes good dynasty players don't represent consensus. And I'm not saying that, you know, maliciously. It's just the truth. And but yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty crazy to me.
So let's talk about Deshaun Watson a little bit. We're all kind of off of him, right? Even though his price seems to have sunk.
We're not all off of him. No. I'm not off of Watson. I didn't think
you're
I,
not?
I don't think I spoke up. No. I
thought okay. What would you
before he got hurt?
So if he's on somebody's IR, that's somebody that you would target?
Yeah, for the right price.
What's the most expensive quarterback you'll give him?
That I would exchange for him?
Yep.
Would
you do Bryce for him?
No, but you know I'm really high.
Yeah, that's fair. Levis. How about Levis?
I would give Levis for him.
Okay.
I would give Russ. I would give Russ for him. I would give Levis for him. I would probably say he's about Levis. Even with Love to me.
So you have Bryce even above Love?
Yeah, I do.
I like it. Okay.
I have Watson below.
So Fields or Watson then? Did you say Watson in that?
I would take Watson over Fields. And this DCC has Watson ranked 20th.
Oh yeah, he's way down there.
QBs. He's like really really low. I'm much higher on Watson than other people, but I also watched Watson. And I think he didn't look too bad, to be honest with you. I just don't think he looked that bad.
The second half of the game before he got hurt, he was, phew, goodness, that was old Deshaun Watson. I mean, it was phenomenal. I mean, some of the best quarterbacking you saw this year, much less just Watson in general.
I just don't think a lot of people were watching him this season, which, I mean, okay, like, not a very good team to watch, but I thought he looked pretty good, especially at points. I mean, he looked really good, which is what I like to see. So, I'm not off of him yet.
It was a lot of second halves. He looked really good, which I kind of like to see, but I also would like to see him prepared for the first half. But a lot of second halves, he looked pretty dang good.
And it also just may take time to get him back into the groove of things, you know. And this is like taking the person aspect of it out of it, because obviously deplorable on the whole situation. So I don't put that into fantasy at all, but just strictly on the field stuff. I think he looks pretty good. I think once the offense gets better, I think he'll put up good numbers. I think he'll be a solid QB1 in the near future. That's just how I see him.
So, all right, let me ask you guys this, because we saw DeAndre Swift vulture a touchdown from Jalen Hurts this week, right? Doesn't happen very often. Those are Jalen Hurts' touchdowns.
Straight vulture.
Let me ask you this. If the NFL comes out and puts a rule in this offseason that essentially makes that play not doable.
If everybody else was having success with it, I think they would, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Let's say it does.
Okay.
And the Eagles are forced to play goal line offense like every other team in the league. How much does that hurt Jalen Hurts' value? When you look at the rest of his game this year?
To me, not much, because I think he's still going to be really good in shotgun running from the one. Same way Cam Newton was. They're built similar, just, you know, he's, what, 5 inches shorter?
Right.
So
he's not super big.
Correct. So I don't have a big problem with – I think at the one, he'll still get his touches. So he may not have 15 rushing touchdowns, but he's also had a regress passing touchdowns this year. So there's a good chance you still see 10 of those. And at 10 of those, if his passing touchdowns go up a couple, then you're looking at almost the same points. And he's had a kind of down year, quote unquote.
I would think it cuts it in half.
Well, Jesse, I'll ask you, because I watch Eagles games, but I don't watch them as intensely as you do, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he's looked? Because I don't think he's looked nearly as good as he did last year.
No. It's a combination of things. Offensive line play hasn't been as good this year. We've had a lot of injuries, and frankly, Kelsey and Lane Johnson and Mylata haven't played as well as they did last year. Our coaching, our offensive coaching, our scheme is ridiculous. It's trash. It's garbage. the play calling is terrible. We don't run the ball enough. It's not creative. Teams know what we're about to do. So he's stuck into situations where he drops back and there's just nothing open. Teams know what we're about to do and it's covered. You see it constantly happening. So then he's forced to go off script, and teams also are accounting for the fact that he's going to run. Plus he's playing hurt with a knee injury. So he's not dynamic on those runs, and he's more reluctant to do it because of the injury. So it's not as much of a threat as it used to be. You don't see the long 20, 30, 50 yard runs like he had last year because he's playing hurt. So the whole thing is different. They need to redo the scheme, fire the offensive coordinator in the offseason, and come back fresh and healthy next year. I honestly, unless something miraculous changes in the next couple weeks, it's not really the Eagles' year. And I see Kurtz getting by in fantasy is a little bit gimmicky right now. He's got elite weapons, which props him up, and he's got an offensive coordinator that doesn't want to hand the ball off, so that helps him too. But we're not even running RPO, really. So it's not even his choice whether he hands off or not. So it's a lot of pistol and shotgun. Just straight get the ball, nobody open, run around, throw it away. A lot of that.
Okay. A little bit more this or that for each one of you.
Sure.
Hurts or Herbert?
Hurts.
Hurts, because he's already got the weapons.
Nice. Okay, I'm the only one. I go Herbert.
If Herbert gets the weapons, then Herbert.
I just want Herbert to get the coach.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. The thing with Hurts is the floor is so high.
Yeah, with the rushing.
It's just so high, man. Like, even on those bad weeks, he scores 25 points. Like, it's so hard to beat that as a quarterback for fantasy.
Yeah. It's not going away. That part of his game isn't going away.
Yeah, I just see that team getting progressively worse around him. And that offensive line, I think it's incredibly difficult. The Eagles, I mean, give them credit. What that GM has done there. Howie has been absolutely a man on fire with that offense that he's put together. And the amount of talent they've had just compared to the rest of the NFL. I don't think there's another team in the league that's been as consistently good as them the last few years. And that offensive line is absolutely unreal. The only thing that I can remember even close to it is the Cowboys line a few years back. And I think this one might be even better. And I just see it. I just see it going, dropping off a cliff in the next couple of years.
They're going to put on a lot of resources into that offensive line.
Yeah. But man, it's hard to get right, especially two times in a row. You saw the Cowboys miss on a lot of players after that offensive line that they put together with Fredericks and Martin and who's the other guy?
Smith.
Yeah. Smith.
Howie's had his share of offensive line misses too. So yeah, that could absolutely happen. But the Eagles have extra picks in the next few drafts, so I expect them to put a lot of resources in.
What I'm saying is what they did was special. And when I watched the Eagles, like, I think Hurts is a good player. I just never thought he was a really good player. I thought the team around him was absolutely incredible, and it allowed him to do some really incredible things in that offense. And I just, man, maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see it happening in the next 2 years down the road.
It completely depends on the coaching. We're not taking advantage of our strengths, and we're not really being creative or surprising anyone. So it depends on the coaching, the offensive line play, everything else is in place. Hurts is an above average passing quarterback, and probably like the fourth or fifth best rushing quarterback in the league.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Okay. Well, that's cool. That places that for me. I think. Do you guys have them pretty close together, Herbert and Hurts, or do you think there's players in between them?
I think it still takes. There's definitely one player in between them for me.
I'd rather have Lamar.
Okay.
I'd rather have Lamar over both of them.
Lamar's playing at an MVP level. I just hope that God Todd Monken stays there and he doesn't leave as a head coach someday.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
I'd rather have Burrow. not over Hurts, well, but over the other two names.
Yeah, agreed.
You'd have Hurts over Burrow, though?
Correct. I have Burrow at four, Hurts at three. It's just Hurts' floor, man. It's just so safe.
I have Burrow at two.
Oh, wow.
So at this point.
Okay. So you've dropped
– Or no, three.
Three?
I'm sorry, three. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was about to say that's a hot take.
Me too. I was like, hold on now. We're going to have this discussion.
So who's one? Yes.
The trash bag. Man.
Come on now.
Yeah.
The bum.
He's just not like one supreme like everybody treats him.
KTC has Allen at one, Mahomes at two. For what little
I don't think Mahomes going 101 this offseason.
Mm-hmm. I think Allen does.
I think Allen does.
Yep. I know multiple people that feel the same way.
Yeah, but
just dynasty managers.
But that's exactly what proves my point, though, because imagine this past offseason, anybody trading Mahomes for Allen straight up, it was not happening.
I don't agree with that either.
I don't either. Yeah, I felt like they were right next to each other this offseason.
No,
no
way. It was so much easier. I got Allen last season for like reasonable prices. I could never get Mahomes anywhere, ever. There's not one league where I've ever been able to get Mahomes. And maybe that's just my personal experience. Maybe the people that I'm coming across that have Mahomes, they're just the diehard Mahomes lovers. But what I've come across is it's impossible to get Mahomes prior to this.
I traded Mahomes stink
fest that he's put up.
I traded Mahomes for Kyler, 3 firsts and 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's absolutely stupid.
Well, I just saw Mahomes,
and that's why I'm in the finals in Patreon 11, y'all.
I just saw Mahomes traded for Breece and Goff. So.
Well, I mean, it's because everybody's really down on Mahomes right now compared to what they were preseason. But even that trade is ridiculous. I mean, that's
a first off. It's missing a first off for sure. Yeah. But the guy wanted to make the playoffs, needed a running back, and thought the production for Goff and Mahomes wasn't going to be that far apart.
But yeah, now's probably the only time where I've seen Mahomes it's probably actually reasonable to trade for him right now. Like, you can actually get him for a fair price, basically.
So what are y'all willing to pay on top of the Herbert, the Burrow, the Stroud? What are you willing to pay to get to Mahomes?
Those are three different questions. On top of Stroud, a first. Okay. A decent first.
I might do two firsts, depending on the first.
I was thinking like, 5, 6, 7. I think the first 4 picks in this draft coming up are maybe even 5 are like priority players for me.
I think probably 6 or up to 6 or 7 is going to be hard to.
I'm not sure about Brock Bowers yet. That's my hesitation.
Even without Brock Bowers, you might have probably 2 quarterbacks going earlier than you think there's going to be.
I have Malik Nabers as like a priority elite player at 104.
Yeah, me too.
Get him to the Chargers, please.
Neighbors is probably going to go like 105-ish in a lot of leagues just because
I keep seeing him mock to the Giants.
I mean, Chargers are picking 6. And they're not going to win anymore. Oh, okay. They're right.
I keep seeing Bowers mock to the Chargers.
Bowers. There might be two top 10 wide receivers this year.
Absolutely agree.
There are. Yeah, I think MHJ and Neighbors are both going to go in the top 10.
I definitely think Neighbors does as well.
And I think Roma Dunze is going to be damn close.
I think he's a top 10 player all day. Like I think he might be my favorite player in the class. He's absolutely incredible.
He's so good. Big and fast and athletic. There's kind of nothing he can't do, that kid.
Yeah. When I say fast, I don't mean best. I just mean, when I say favorite, I don't mean best. I just mean favorite.
But we'll have those discussions after our little break because it'll be time.
Yeah, certainly.
Speaking of, we're scheduled to have a break starting after this week. But as I told you guys in the chat, that I'm taking a break. I'm going on a cruise in January. I'm going to recharge a little bit. I'm going to do a lot of rookie work. But y'all are welcome to do this every week if you want.
I'd love to get on and talk finals next week if somebody else could set it up.
Yeah,
I'm
available starting next week. I told you guys.
I was gonna say I don't know how to do it, but I'll be.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it, but I'd love to.
Chad, well, I used to do it before Jesse, so I'll do it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk the finals because I know it'll be a lot of fun. For, hopefully,
there
a lot
you
of
go,
fun.
Y'all.
Hopefully, fun.
Yeah, hopefully.
Bonus content. Sure
I said that.
Yep. Get to it. All right. But,
who else do we want to talk about tonight? Are there other targets that aren't obvious? You know, as say like a rebuilder or somebody that's out of the playoffs.
Let me look real quick. I want to talk about the RB landscape. The top of it.
Wait,
Bijan, Gibbs, Breece. What's y'all's orders with those three? And who the heck is next?
Well, CMC I have first.
First?
CMC brings championships.
So I can send you Gibbs. I mean, you will send me Gibbs for CMC.
Probably. In the right situation. Well, no, not
only
right
one
now,
situation. We're in the finals.
Yeah. No.
So he's not number one then. Because after next week, there's no way of going on 28 RB is ahead of Gibbs. Or Breece or Bijan. I mean, you can have the discussion.
All right, so Bijan, Gibbs, Breece, CMC. And then it's like ATN, A-Chain, Jacobs, Walker, Swift, Pacheco. But there's three tiers in there that Taylor. I just left off.
Yeah, where the heck's Taylor at?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jonathan Taylor is up with the in the Breece Hall.
Probably five.
So is he ahead of CMC?
I mean, as far as would I trade them straight up in the offseason? Or right? Yes, I would trade him right now for CMC if I'm in the finals. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because he's not playing at a Gibbs level. I can't count on those kind of points, but. Yeah, and actually, yeah, I guess I have to put him below Breece. Maybe more in the ATN tier. ATN, A-Chain, JT. It's kind of its own tier.
ETN's going to be a really interesting discussion this offseason.
So is A-Chain, because he hasn't done squat
yes.
in a while.
Yes.
All right, I have an offer. I have an offer for Evans and Kylan Granson for TMC and Pat F.
What?
No,
Mike Evans.
Even if there's no.
Evans has Lattimore this week. Stay away.
Yeah, are we
is he back? Is he back?
I think he's supposed
this
to.
This is the week he would be due back. Mike Evans just scored 28 points in that league.
I know, he had two touchdowns last week.
Entry
update. I forgot about that.
Oh, nope. 7 hours ago, Marshawn Lattimore not expected to return versus Bucks.
Ooh, fantastic.
That's awesome.
Fire him up in P2.
Three or four leagues.
Oh,
that's great news.
So you know what I just want to brag about a little bit? I haven't been on in a long time, so I feel like been able to do enough bragging when it comes to fantasy football. But do you guys see my mid-tier running backs? Don't touch them. How well that worked out this year? Because they all suck.
Who were they?
All right, get it. Because
Rashad White was pretty awesome.
Because yeah, and ATN you kept dogging on too, and he was pretty awesome.
I did not dog on ATN.
I was you told me you wouldn't touch him.
I said he's a very talented player, but I'm not paying what people are paying for him, which is just true of the running back position. Like, if I have Gibbs, I'm trading him for his wide receiver counterpart right now.
Which is?
I mean, I haven't really thought about it, but I think Gibbs' value is pretty high because I think he's a really good player. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I would be trying to give Gibbs for Garrett Wilson right now probably.
Oh, God, give me Gibbs.
I take Garrett Wilson hard.
In a start to RB league, give me Gibbs. They're just so much harder to find that make me feel good about starting.
I'm taking Garrett Wilson. I'm just taking the wide receiver. They hold their value better. And I think they're just safer plays. I think Garrett Wilson gets a good quarterback and he's good to go for a long time. The running backs just
Gibbs is at a scarcer position. As far as elite players go.
Yeah, but you could also lose your ass in 2 years really, really quickly with the running backs, like we've seen time and time again. And then you have a multitude of wide receiver or running backs coming out of nowhere. Like half the running backs that are going to be in the top 10 this year, more than half, were not even anywhere close to that prior to
2 years.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's
barring massive injury, I don't agree with that.
Well, that's what are you saying? Barring massive injury, that's like the realistic scenario of a running back is injuries.
But that can happen. That can happen to wide receivers too. But
the injury rate of running backs is substantially higher than wide receiver. Substantially higher.
All right. Well, the injury rate of quarterbacks this year is substantially higher than anything.
Yeah, but Jesse, so, I'm not talking about one season. It's just the reality. Statistically, across the NFL, running backs would just get – they're just more injury prone. And when they do get injured, they lose their value really quickly. And they occur a lot more often to that player, unless you're an injury-prone wide receiver. And I'm not saying injuries don't happen to wide receivers. I'm just saying the injury rate at running back makes them a lot scarier to put a lot of value into.
Yeah, but in two of them, you have to – in a start two, you have to have two. So why not give me the 22-year-old RB6 on the season that didn't even start good?
Because over. I think 22-year-old matters a lot less than it does at other positions. When you have guys like Raheem Mostert and Rashad White that you get for pennies, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, guys like that are still producing, and you get them for pennies like while they're still producing. Obviously not now because it's the point where that matters most. But, you know, in season you can get a lot of Kyron Williams I got for, you know, high seconds while he was producing. I just think it's a lot easier of a position to take advantage of in season than wide receiver is, and that's where I'd rather put my value in wide receiver and take care of running back in season.
Wide receivers are easier to acquire in the offseason, but so are all veterans, really.
Well, they're a lot more easier to predict, in my opinion, than running back is. Running back is, you know, a lot of times the offensive line, you know, bad offensive line play could absolutely tank a good running back. Doesn't matter how good the running back is, it absolutely tanks them. Whereas like a wide receiver, bad quarterback play, bad offensive line play can definitely hurt them really badly, but it rarely ever, you know, makes them non-existent like it can for a running back.
I think fun off season.
I think you can project, especially for rookies, you can project a running back into an offense a lot more easily. Although we talked about it last week, I screwed up projecting Damian Pierce into his new offense.
U.S. Sanders.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe you got something there, Chad. All right. We're just about an hour and a half. Are we going to land the ship or are we going to, we got anybody else? So I just countered Brian Robinson for Mike Evans, by the way.
Can I interest you guys in a start sit since it's RSO?
Sure.
Purdy this week at Washington or Stafford at New York Giants?
Woo, that is tough. I like both those matchups.
No. What? Purdy.
I've already made our
decision.
The Giants'
pass defense has been really good.
Has it?
Yeah, Washington's been the worst pass defense in the NFL.
Yeah, it's Purdy.
The Giants, well, are you guys kidding me right now? The Giants,
your pass rush is pretty good.
No, not the pass rush. The pass defense is good. I mean, at the back end too, they've been really good.
It does say they're actually the number six against the pass according to the RSO opponent rank. I saw that.
Yeah, guys, it's important. Look at your matchups because sometimes it's not what you think it is.
It's just Stafford's been on fire.
Yeah, but man, this Giants team is like really quieted some offenses, and they suck against the run too, which actually does hurt the passing game as well, because teams know they can run against the Giants really easily, so they just go to that, and just run it down their throat, kind of what the Eagles did yesterday late in the game. So,
Purdy's in there,
Boston. Now that we've already worked out our split in Einstein's, I have to tell you my matchups suck against you this week. The Jets at Cleveland on Thursday night is really bad for me. You know, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Amari Cooper and Njoku. I have a lot of players in that matchup.
Yeah, well.
Anybody playing that Jets defense?
I mean, I'm starting Nick Mullins, Jake Browning, and I just lost Waddle, so I was also fine. And I have Mostert against Baltimore. So I was also fine with taking a split because I didn't feel any better about it.
That's an Einstein's?
Yeah.
Gosh, I hate.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a pooplinger this week.
So, I mean, my team's been putting up 200 points a week still, but it just,
fantasy makes no sense.
Oh, I hate that.
The quarterbacks have been so ugly, but that's because I have Herbert and Burrow sitting in the IR. So
that's one thing I do have is good quarterback matchups. I got Lamar against the Dolphins and Kyler against the Eagles. Eagles are 31st against quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I have Kincaid at tight end. So I didn't feel great about it either. So I was good with a split.
Right on. It's gonna be.
I got one for you guys before we go.
Sure.
So I have let me see here. I have Jaylen Warren against the Seahawks, and you know he looks all right. You know, probably lock it like 10, 11 points. Or I have Jamar Chase. Granted, hopefully he plays against Kansas City, which is one of the best pass defenses in the NFL.
They have good corners. There's no way I'm sitting Chase if he plays.
Yeah, but I'm just especially worried about the injury and his last. This is his week since week 11. 9-13, had the 33 against Jacksonville, but Jacksonville is one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Mm-hmm. 6 against Indianapolis, and then 11 against Minnesota, which is also one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL.
He went out hurt in that Minnesota game.
Yeah, he started on fire in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he still paid 71% of the snaps.
Hmm. this was a discussion I had as well with Chase. We'll hit that this offseason.
I'm going to start Chase. I'm going to start Chase, but
I can't watch Chase on my bench and hope Jaylen Warren puts up. It's something that I can't live with myself.
Warren and Singletary.
Seattle's the 27th ranked rushing defense.
Warren or who's Singletary play, Mike?
Tennessee. He went for 26 on like a $150.
I think Stroud will be back this week. So.
Oh, is he?
Will
be Stroud?
I think so. I would think so.
Because
they say he was close last week. So.
Ooh, that means I get Nico Collins back, really.
Yeah, he had 126 carries for 121, and then he had four receptions for 49 yards against Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm doing that, especially if Stroud's back.
Over Warren?
Yeah. Warren doesn't have any touchdown upside. Yeah. He doesn't have
he's kind of like Kamara Light, though. He's like always catching.
He's good. He's more he's like Jerome Ford. 12 points a week.
He's like Eckler when Melvin Gordon was there.
Sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put Singletary in there.
That was just like a collective breath where everybody's thinking about their matchups. Like, oh God, what are we doing this for?
So those are two guys, by the way, Jaylen Warren and Jerome Ford, that if you have him and you're not competing for anything, try to sell him to a contender.
Don't trade Warren. Do not trade Warren.
Don't trade
Warren. Really?
No way.
I'll trade him for a second.
Mm-mm. Nope.
He's worth more than Najee at this point.
Najee's. Yep.
They're going to trade Tomlin for a first and a second and use that for a running back.
That's fine. with Najee and Warren?
They're going to trade Tomlin for Belichick.
That would be the stupidest trade ever.
That would be so weird. I'd like New England if they did that.
I might try a couple Warren for Tank Dells, see if I can get it off.
I think you have a prayer.
Yeah, good luck.
I'd tell you to go pound sand up the Rio
Grande. I'd tell you to spend the first.
If it works for you, yeah. Maybe if somebody's sleeping on Tank Dell, but if they've got him on their roster, I don't think they're sleeping.
I just got offered Tank Dell in the 107 for Mahomes, so like.
I traded Howell for Tank Dell at a second earlier in the year. And for a while, that was really looking terrible. I was like pissed at myself. Howell feels pretty good.
You know what my Tank Dell ownership share is? It's like 40%, 40-something percent higher than every other player. It's 72%.
Yikes. I have like 3 or 4 shares. Wow.
It was free.
Yeah.
You've been on them since the beginning. I can't knock it. You said it from the jump.
He's a fun player to watch. I didn't think he was going to be this good, to be honest with everybody. But I just maintained he was just fun. He was just fun to watch.
All right, I'm going to look at the calendar real quick because I'm going to tell you guys exactly when I'm going to be back.
I got to go, fellas. I'm on puppy duty. Got to roll.
Oh. All right, Austin, thank you for joining us.
Have a lovely new year.
Yes, happy
new year.
Good
luck on your matchups, unless you're playing ESP.
Yeah,
but, we'll talk
too.
Soon, I'm sure.
Happy new year, man.
See ya.
Happy new year, brother. I might actually be back January 31st.
Oh, wow.
Which is a Tuesday. So, pretty much no chance the week before. I will be I'll be on the Impractical Jokers Eric Andre cruise to the Bahamas.
Oh, nice. I thought you were going to say the show. I was about to say.
Cool.
Well, if I get lucky.
Are you an extra?
Not if I get lucky. Maybe they're shooting an episode while I'm on. I've never been on a cruise before. So this is what the wife picked for me for my, well, it was my Christmas present, but I'm also turning 50 this year. So assume it's my 50th birthday.
Man. That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty excited for that. That's what I got lined up for January. That and recharging and watching lots of rookie film. I can't wait for that. Really excited.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I can't wait for our rookie episodes. I will be around a lot more often, everyone, for better or worse. But, yeah, schedule changes. I'll be here for the next month, certainly. And then past that, we'll coordinate and figure out how often I can come on. But, yeah, we'll make it work.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Cool. Yeah, I'll count on you to get it fired up while I'm gone. And we'll talk offline. I've got a trick on how you don't have to. Once you get the code, once you don't have to do it every time.
Certain.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. I mean, good luck this week. It's going to be a rough one. I mean,
I'm glad I'm not going against you anywhere this week, Jesse, because you already beat me in every matchup pretty much. So,
except for the one I really thought I was going to beat you in Double Deuce. So that one was really weird.
Trade you.
Amari Cooper did really weird things to fantasy football this week.
Yes, he did.
It was just a nuts performance. But I just want to thank everybody for joining us all year. It was awesome. Everybody supporting the Patreon, everybody in the chat. It's just, I feel really lucky and grateful to be part of such an awesome community. I'm grateful to you guys for all the support. Not only on the podcast, but, you know, in our chat and talking offline and all that stuff that we do to support each other. And just really, I think what we're doing is, you know, what do they say? Iron sharpens iron. You know, we're just making ourselves really better dynasty players so that when we go out into leagues where we're not playing each other, suckers don't have a chance. Right. So stay tuned for a lot more. We're going to do some finals recap and some strategy talk. I think Austin's going to want to do in January. And then, like I said, diving into the rookies. You got Dallas Hyder coming with the rookie rundown. And I'm sure Memphis and Jerry will be doing the same. So subscribe to the Dynasty Warzone Network and you get the Dynasty War Games for free.
Sounds good.
Right on. All right, guys. Thanks again. I really appreciate everybody. And we are...
Chase my problems and time keeps on dragging. Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking. Oh, despite the cost, you know I got to trot on.
Hey. Now it's a long, long road and every day your tears and struggles. Still we try to get ahead and turn
a single into a double.
Every curve we face along the road and it's the trouble. Try to wreck, we try to turn, we into rubble. Say it's not easy,
oh, oh,
won't you believe me?
Oh no.
Don't mean to sound like it's a cliche, but the one thing we know, you only reap that you sow, and the crop that you grow today, tomorrow it grows without.
Lost in the fray, and I can't find my way back home.